Welcome back to another episode of Consciously Clueless, the podcast that teaches you how to live a healthier lifestyle that makes you and the planet happier. The world is changing quickly. Sometimes it feels like you can't keep up. I hear you. You want to make the world a better place, you care, but you don't know where to start. You know taking care of yourself is important, but how? I get it. I have a history of diving into a new endeavor, seeking perfection, and quickly feeling like I failed. Whether it was going vegan or learning how to recycle more, I wish I had guidance to keep me on track and not overwhelmed. I can't lie, the world needs your help, but it doesn't need you to be perfect. This podcast is here to help. Here we go. All right, welcome to another episode. I'm excited that you're here. It's a short solo episode today. If you are listening to this, well, that's awesome. But remember that because it's a solo episode, you could also be watching it over on patreon.com/consciouslycarly. There are videos for solo episodes. There's also some bonus content from Consciously Cannabis episodes. There's weekly tarot cards. Honestly, there's kind of a lot going on over there. So remember to check out patreon.com/consciouslycarly if you are a podcast lover. Okay, so what are we going to talk about today? I want to revisit some things I've talked about on the podcast before, but what already seems like kind of a long time ago, add some things, talk about a recent post on social media, and see where the episode takes us. I swear, I've got a plan. If you're watching this, you can see my notes. But there's this idea that whenever I get close to talking about it or talk about it on social media, I get more pushback than normal than talking about necessarily like vegan food or the environment. But this idea that there are some animals we've chosen to eat as socially acceptable and others that we keep as pets and we get uncomfortable or even upset, downright outraged at their abuse. Let's think of like a cow versus a dog. How we view them is for some reason categorically different. We don't really grow up understanding why. Now, I want to remind you that I am not talking about this from a place of, duh, why don't you know? I'm talking about this as someone who really, in the grand scheme, only put the puzzle pieces together in a way that made sense for me about animals and our environment and the world in the last few years. Because we are all socially conditioned, wherever you are in the world, in various ways, especially around food and around animals and around how we treat animals and each other. A lot of that comes from the information we are given. We are taught, we are socially conditioned to believe these things. But when you're pressed to think about it, it's harder to come up with a reason that makes a lot of sense other than that's just how it is. Because, for example, with the dog, there are some places that eat dog meat, that is culturally part of the food they eat. And people in Western countries get really upset by this. And I don't like it either. But when we try to think, what's the difference though between that? Why am I so upset about that, but I'm not upset about the pig, the bacon I ate this morning? And if you have seen a video of a pig, they are just big puppies. Cows too, honestly. Everything is just big puppies. But there is this uncomfortability that comes with thinking about that question. It makes us physically not feel good to think about why eat one and why save and protect and keep as a pet on this other side. But this is my experience too. There are far and few between are vegans born vegan. that happens more and more and more, and it depends on where you are. But a lot of times people are making this decision after gaining information throughout their life, whether it be at a younger age, an older age, whatever, anything in between, right? And so this is my experience too. This is not a judgment so much as I think this is important information. I know it's hard to not take vegan content sometimes as judgmental because it makes us think about the world differently. That goes for anything that's challenging our world beliefs. It makes us defensive because we want to believe that the world as we know it is just. And when someone says it's not, admitting that sucks. And admitting it is harder when you've grown up with a certain level of privilege and gotten to ignore this, right? Because it is challenging our very delicate worldviews that we hold to keep us safe in some ways. Holding those worldviews sometimes keeps us safe. But it's important to push those views. And it's important to be able to at least answer honestly why you hold them if you still do. So the reason this happens, right? The reason that we can be so passionate about our dog and make them their own Instagram account, you know, a rescue pup or something, and then eat a burger. There's this thing called cognitive dissonance. And I've talked about this on the podcast before in a whole episode, and I can link that below too if you want a deep dive. I'm going to just remind us of what it is because it's really important to keep thinking about it and keeping it in our mind when we're having conversations about veganism, the animal agriculture industry, and honestly just challenging beliefs in general. This isn't just applicable to thinking about animals. It's applicable to a lot of things in the world. So I'm going to read a definition from Very Well Mind. I will link the article that I'm using. Cognitive dissonance is the mental discomfort that results from holding two conflicting beliefs, values, or attitudes. People tend to seek consistency in their attitudes and perceptions, so this conflict causes unpleasant feelings of unease or discomfort. So you can see that, right? Where when you're challenged about it, you're like, I don't know. I don't know why I eat one and why I love the other and let them sleep with me in my bed, right? I don't really know why. And it makes us uncomfortable because it challenges something we just took for granted as a belief, but maybe doesn't actually align with what we think. Because when you ask someone down the street, do you believe in animal cruelty? They will automatically, most of the time, right? Most of the time, people are going to be like, no, I think animal cruelty is horrible. But we're talking about like cats and dogs and maybe wildlife animals or whatever it is. But there's something about farmed animals in factory farms that we think of and put them in this different category. And the cruelty that the bulk of animals are experiencing is absolute torture. Male chicks in the egg industry are being macerated and just chopped up alive because they're not useful. Cows are being assaulted and artificially inseminated. Pigs are being sent to gas chambers. There are steel bolts to the head. It is brutal. But we don't want to think about it because it's something we just have grown up knowing. But when we think about it, if we feel discomfort, if you feel discomfort thinking about it now, there's a reason. And that cognitive dissonance, that feeling is actually a clue that something you're doing is not aligning with what you actually believe to be true in the world. I believe that most people don't want to create harm. I believe that most people actually finding out what happens, especially in large scale factory farming and animal agriculture, there would be more of a shift and it would be quicker because we don't like suffering. We don't like the idea of causing suffering to others, but we do it with the choices we make with our food and our lifestyle. And it's often, again, that social conditioning. It's what you know, but when you're challenged by it, are you allowing yourself to think differently? So I wanted to give some examples of cognitive dissonance that aren't animals that might be helpful in understanding kind of that feeling that you get. I think of it as like this gut feeling. Okay, so here's some examples this same article gave. You have a long to-do list, but spend the day watching your favorite shows instead. So you don't want your spouse to know. You try to make it look like you've worked hard all day. So you had all this stuff to do. You didn't do it. And because of that, you feel at odds with what you knew needed to be done. Or if you've ever tried to be on a budget, you're trying to save for a goal or a vacation or a house or something. Pay off your student loans. Hello. You know you need to save money. You know the action you need to take that makes sense to make the improvements you need to make. But then you spend money and you go to the coffee shop and you shop online or whatever it is. And then you feel bad because what you know was right and what you needed to do is different than what you actually did. So that feeling that starts to come up more and more is cognitive dissonance. It's that what I believe in this world is that I want to create the least amount of harm possible. And I'm going to find new ways to do that every single day. Veganism is not perfect. If the world went vegan overnight and the agriculture industry as it stood was vegan foods, but was still not safe for workers, was still not the best for the planet, I wouldn't be happy. It doesn't have to just be either or. It's vegan and sustainability and mindful and all of it, right? It's the whole package. And if the animal agriculture was to make shifts towards plant-based eating, there's this narrative sometimes that people say, I don't want to be told what to eat or forced to eat something. But this is another thing that we have to relearn and unlearn some social conditioning, because when we dig into how do the current animal agriculture industries survive in the US and other industrial places, it is because of subsidies. So milk and dairy products and meat products are on the shelves because of government subsidies. So that's already being chosen for you. And for me, that feels like my tax dollars are helping fund that. And I don't want that. I want to be putting money towards practices that are sustainable for the future and sustainable for the planet and our survival and for the animals and the humans that work there. I'm not trying to tell people what to do, but I do want to share important information that I think can be life-changing for you as an individual and a path to unravel all of this oppression and this harm by shifting the animal agriculture industry in big, big ways. Another thing that comes up when talking about cognitive dissonance and all of this stuff online, I made a post recently on Instagram that did bigger numbers than I have one normally do. I ended up having to disable the comments because it was getting really nasty and not productive, but the reel is still there. And in it, I had text on there about how you more often are going to take your kids to an apple orchard than a slaughterhouse. Now, it's a big comparison, and that's the point. And boy, oh boy, did it do the job of pissing people off, which was never my intention to piss people off, but to challenge cognitive dissonance. That's what that whole post really was getting at, is the idea that we don't want to see the behind the scenes of some things, but we're okay with the other. Again, apples and oranges a little bit, but it's the idea of what do we see in the animal agriculture industry and what we don't. Because I can tell you the truck going down the street that has the happy cow on the side is not it. And that's actually furthering our cognitive dissonance because those industries want to keep producing and keep making money. But it's not what happens at a slaughterhouse, right? So that cognitive dissonance is furthered. And that's what this post was about, is the idea that we want to turn away. And why do we want to turn away from the way some food is processed? There are, of course, processing plants for vegetables. Or avocados is a good one to point out with industries of migrant workers that are being abused. There are lots of points to talk about the agriculture industry outside of just animals as needing improvement. And I'm not here to pick one thing. I want all of it to be improved. I don't think we need to pick one or the other. And it's also still all together, right? How many times are you going to hear me say that? It's so true, though. You can't unravel one without the other. And if you do, you're not paying attention and your work is not intersectional. So there, of course, are nuances, but the idea is there that it's pointing at the cognitive dissonance. And a lot of the people that were upset, which not all, but I will say, and I have the evidence for, was a lot of white men commenting on this post. And a lot of them were very upset that I, in their minds, have never heard of the idea of hunting or fishing. Some of the comments were really great. For example, like, that I need to get out of my city bubble. And for those of you that are listening and know where I grew up, I graduated with 56 people, and that was a big class. So city bubble was hilarious. Northern Minnesota, shout out. But I grew up hunting and fishing. I grew up with those practices being very normal. I don't need to do those practices to survive. I don't need to hunt and fish for the survival of my family. There are some people in our world that need to do that. And myself and most vegans I know are not talking to them. But what a lot of usually white men were bringing up in my comments was about indigenous people and the idea of hunting and fishing. But that's not their experience. I am talking at this bigger systematic injustice we see in systems of oppression that also affect those very people. And it's also important to remember that animal agriculture as a system is here because of colonialism. Animal agriculture and the rate at which we are producing and ingesting animal products is not natural. It is not just how the world worked. That is not what the cavemen were doing. It is not what indigenous peoples were doing. They were not factory farming. And it's really reductionist to try and use indigenous cultures that are not your own to think that there is no nuance that they are able to understand or experience or decide for themselves and decide to speak for them, to use that as an excuse to not examine your own habits and the impact you can make, but hide behind this idea that does not affect you. There are also many indigenous people that practice a plant-based or vegan lifestyle, and they can talk about the nuances of their culture and what that means for them. But as a white dude on the internet, you probably don't need to. And if that's not your experience and your accessibility to things is different, not just white men, just so you know, keep listening, everyone else too. If you have access to creating less harm in the world, if it is easier for you than others to make these systems of oppression unravel, then why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you try to do that instead of pointing to this other thing over here as a reason for you to be inactive and to not at least try? That is not a good enough excuse. What is accessible to you to reduce harm that you cause in the world? Because I think we all have that same goal at the end of the day. It just takes some unlearning of the ways we can do that. We don't connect it so often to what's on our plate. Food is this different thing. I grew up thinking the same thing. I was a sociology and women's studies major with a passion to change the world. I kept going and got a master's in social responsibility. I remember being in those spaces and unlearning and unraveling so much of my own privilege, the things I was taught about the world. And still, even in these spaces that were very progressive and liberal and talking about human rights and environmental rights, food was left out of the equation a lot. Specifically, plant-based foods was left out of the equation in terms of the environment and health a lot, even in the spaces you would hope it would come up. You're not a shitty person for not having this information. It's by design we often don't have this information, because that would cause us to question it, right? It would cause us to question all these systems of oppression in place, including the animal agriculture industry and animal rights. So if you didn't have this information when you came out the womb, that's understandable. But if you're starting to gain this information and it's making you uncomfortable, I really invite you to try and sit with it and push through that. Because if you have the privilege to choose to push through that, you might be making a difference for a future world for more than just yourself. If you are worried about others, if you are worried about human rights or people that bring up indigenous cultures or whatever it is, let's talk about the Amazon rainforest. Cultures there are being absolutely destroyed for cattle ranches and beef farming. And a lot of land is just being completely, completely desecrated. And cultures are lost because of the Western desire for more and more meat. So it is a thing that sometimes feels overwhelming. And sometimes for people, when I say I could keep listing all the things this is connected to, LGBTQIA plus rights is connected to the environment, is connected to free Palestine, is connected to all of it. Sometimes that's when the cognitive dissonance kicks in, right? That you're like, that is too much for my worldview. And I want to believe that those things are separate and that I can just deal with them later. And that is just not how it works. I get it. I totally get the overwhelm, but don't let that shut you down. I know that you listening to this right now feel that feeling in your chest, in your belly, whatever it is for you that feels like, I've got to do something. There's so much going on in the world. I've got to do something. And I will never argue that veganism is perfect because nothing is, but it's a really damn good vehicle to move us towards a more compassionate world. And it does challenge us to think about some of our worldviews, and that is good for us whether you go vegan or not. So remember that I didn't arrive at the place I am at today when I was born. I also, in a few years, will hopefully have evolved on all of these things still. I will think differently about this. I will hopefully even be wiser about the world and about how to make it a better place. But with the information we have, changing the foods you eat is one of the biggest ways you can individually start impacting the future of the planet. And let that be really empowering. And sit with the discomfort of some of those beliefs that are challenging you. Remember that being uncomfortable is a really powerful way to grow and challenge ourselves. And if we're not growing, then what the hell are we doing, right? So do something. Find something you can do today to create less harm in the world. I bet it will be easier than you think. And if you need help, remember, I am always here. If you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode of Consciously Clueless, and for that, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this new episode, and if you did, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or tag me and share in social media. Share this episode with others who may be interested in this topic. To get more resources, influence on topics covered, and bonus content, join the Consciously Clueless community over on Patreon at patreon.com/consciouslycarly. And don't forget, if you need help living more consciously, let's work together. Email me today. See you next Wednesday for a new episode.